We're going to bring you some of the excerpts of a show that we did very recently here. It was a good show, and it was one that I enjoyed doing, and I think it is one that you'll enjoy. So allow us to bring you back a few weeks and listen to this particular topic and my guests.
Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Barry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is sponsored by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and by CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Barry.
Hello, everyone, and nice to be with you here on Home and Family Finance once again on this kind of cold winter's day. You know, there are so many things that pass over my desk that are important that I think that I want to share with you. Our program, Home and Family Finance. It's about the home, it's about the family, and it's about the finances. And nothing can affect the finances that we have any more than a loss of life. When someone in the family dies for whatever reasons, it has a tremendous impact on your finances, on your home, and on the family life. And to that end, today's show will be very special to me because it gives me a chance to talk about something that I think we need to talk about more and more, and we're not doing enough of that. As you know, part of my audience here is the military. We have the good fortune, the honor, if you will, of being on the American Forces Network, meaning we are broadcast every week to 177 military operations around this world, land and sea. So much of my audience is the military, and that means that they are your mothers and fathers, your children, your sons and daughters. So it's not they and them, it's us together. One of the things that impacts me so much is the attention step that a commercial here in the Washington area is running to try to get money for a particular home. It's a good cause. And what they say in this is 22 servicemen or women, 22 veterans or active duty personnel will not be alive at the end of today. They will kill themselves. They will commit suicide. Now, let me repeat that number to you. 22 Americans every day kill themselves. Some are active duty. Some are former military. But all Americans, all of our sons and daughters, die every day. So at the conclusion of today, 22 of the people listening to me won't be here. 22 of your sons and daughters, your husbands, your whoever they are, wherever they are, they won't be here because they will opt to commit suicide, to kill themselves, rather than to deal with the pressures that they feel. How is that possible? We're talking about more than 9,000 people will be dead at the end of the year. I want to know what those reasons are. I want to know what we can do. I want to know what you can do to somehow have an impact on those kinds of numbers. They're scary. And so today's show is going to be dedicated to exactly that, talking about that. If I can get you to start talking about it and to think about it, you'll think about things, and if at the very least, you'll know some of the signs that suggest that someone in your family, someone that you know, some loved one, may be close to doing something that they will, for the rest, well, their life will end, and they will. We think they will be sorry for. We certainly will be sorry for them. Did we do everything that we could do? One of my guests today is a coordinator for the Maryland Veterans Administration. Nicole Jones will join us. She is the coordinator, and she will be here. And she has the facts and figures, and she will tell us some things that that we need to know. The other person that I invited in to join me, and he's been here before, is my son, my youngest son, 23 years old, Paul Hunter Jackson Barry. He's known as Babe Barry. And if you think about it, you know why I've invited him to join us. He is of that age, 23. He can go into the military. He may not. He has friends who are there who talk to him. What does he think about this? And what should we do? What does he believe is the right answer, or is there an answer? I'm not going to sit here and suggest to you that I know what the cure or what the answer is to 22 people killing themselves today. I only know that it's going to happen, and I want to, at the conclusion of this day, feel like I have done everything that I could do. I've said everything that I could say to be helpful. And just so that you understand, I'm going to talk about some things I've never shared with anybody. I'm a Vietnam veteran. Today we have a very fancy name for it. We call it stress disorder. Whatever we call it. But they didn't call it there then. PTSD, I think. That's what you know it as. In my diet, it wasn't called that. It was just called a conversion reaction. It was called anything but. But I'm one of those who suffered with this. And I've never told my family, I've never told anyone that. So this is personal to me. I have a right to say to you, because I've been there, I've seen things and done things that I don't even want to think about. I've been required to do those things. And I understand how difficult it is to overcome what you may have experienced. But what I can tell you is, no matter how badly it may have been for you, suicide is not the answer. Okay? So let's talk to each other and see if you're someone out there contemplating that today. And I know that 22 of you will, despite what I say today, will commit suicide. When we come back, I'll introduce Nicole Jones to you. I'll introduce my son. And we'll have this discussion wide open. Anything goes. You're listening to Home and Family Finance here on the Radio America Network. I'm your host, Paul Berry.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
And I hope I've got your attention here. I hope you're interested in this topic. I hope if you weren't, you're saying, wait a minute. Are you saying that 22 Americans, 22 men and women, 22 either former or current military people are going to die today? Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying to you. Exactly. And not by anybody from Afghanistan or ISIS. They're going to kill themselves. And another way to say this, every 80 minutes, one veteran dies by suicide in America. Every 80 minutes. Okay? This is nothing new to Nicole Jones. She is a coordinator for the Veterans Administration Prevention, a Lifeline Crisis Call Center, in this case the Maryland segment of that. And every day she deals with these numbers. And she has numbers that are off the charts here. A recent report, some 59 pages, compiles all of this. Nicole, welcome to Home and Family Finance.
Happy to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you here. The topic is not pleasurable, but I think the fact that we can talk about it is pleasing to you.
Yeah, because the big issue is awareness. You know, you talked about veteran suicides, and yes, 22 veterans per day is the most recent statistic from our national VA administration. But the other part I wanted to just, you know, emphasize is mm-hmm. that suicide is a national crisis in the general population as well. As many as 40,000 people die each year as a result of suicide. And our veterans are more at risk, which is alarming to us at the VA. You know, our mission is to really make sure that our veterans know what resources are available and that things can get better.
Right. I want you to talk about the resources, but right now I'd like you to identify the person we're talking about, Nicole.
Okay.
Who is that person? Male, female, young, old, black, white? Who is the most likely candidate right now who tonight won't be alive?
Well, you know, there are lots of factors. But, you know, to say that, you know, women are more at risk or men are more at risk is a falsehood. The truth of the matter is it's equal opportunity. Unfortunately, it can be our elderly veterans. It can be our youngest veterans who are just returning. It can be some of our veterans who served, you know, years ago and now are dealing with some housing and employment issues or health issues. So when we talk about ages, yes, it can affect anyone. Mm-hmm. The trends show that, you know, it's usually, as with the general population, some of the trends indicate that it's white males in about the age group of their 60s are more at risk, and that's, you know, the same in the general population, but every life counts. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that every family member knows so that if their loved one is not in that population, that they don't miss the signs and symptoms that, you know, need intervention so that they can keep their loved one alive. So,
and I understand it. You're absolutely right. We are talking for a variety of reasons about a specific group, but suicide is something that anybody in our community can find themselves involved in, or may someone may elect or think that that's the way out. So it's not just the military. I think that's your point, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think that because our military, their experience is so unique that I think it does, it somehow affects that our veterans are more exposed to this vulnerability. But some of the risk factors include a history of mental health. You know, so if someone has depression, they're more likely to think about suicide and have suicidal behavior. Substance abuse issues, family history of suicide can be a risk factor. If that individual even had suicidal thoughts or behaviors in the past, it makes them more likely to have those thoughts in the future. Exposure to PTSD, as you mentioned, whether it be childhood PTSD from physical abuse or sexual abuse, which can be triggered and exacerbated in the military when they have other traumas. But even exposure to combat is a huge risk factor. Traumatic brain injury, which is something unique to our veterans as well. The IED roadside bombs, you know, a lot of our veterans come back with really devastating traumatic brain injuries, some of which they have to learn how to walk and talk all over again. And some, it just makes them impulsive and unable to focus and deal with stressors. And that can be a risk for suicide as well.
While only 1% of Americans have served in the military, former service members account for 20% of all suicides in the United States. The number to call, 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255. My guest, Nicole Jones. When we come back, we'll talk about some of those programs that are available to you, and Babe Berry will bring his younger view to this issue to the table. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry. Listening to Radio America. I'm your host, Paul Berry, and I thank you for joining us. Our program sponsors the Defense Credit Union Council, and we thank them for their continued support of this program, as well as CUNA, the Credit Union National Association, both dedicated to making all of us smarter consumers. Our topic today, of course, is suicide. Suicide in the military. 22 members of the military will commit suicide by the end of this day. One every 80 minutes will commit suicide. These are startling and staggering numbers to me. As an ex, as a former, I'm never an ex, but a former Vietnam veteran, someone whose heart and soul is with the military, thanked for many things, my training and everything else, I care about these 22 people that won't be here tomorrow. And I say to you that you should care as well, okay? You know, one of the agencies that I just mentioned, the Defense Credit Union Council and its member credit unions, believe that financial readiness equals mission readiness and supports the efforts of Military Saves in their dedication to improving the financial well-being of our troops. Military Saves is a year-round campaign that seeks to motivate, support, and encourage your military families to save money, to reduce debt, and to build wealth. As part of the Department of Defense's financial readiness campaign, Military Saves acts as a resource center for information on financial education and counseling. So check out its links to useful websites for military families where they can learn better money management and can find partners who can help military members achieve their financial goals. Military Saves. Set a goal, make a plan, save automatically. And go to militarysaves.org for more information and take the Savers Pledge today. And I also want you to think about going to the center that's designed to save your life or to help you reconsider if you are, in fact, thinking that the way out is to take your life. And the person with us today is Nicole Jones. She is a coordinator for the Maryland Veterans Administration's Prevention Lifeline Crisis Call Center. I gave you the number, 1-800-273-TALK, 1-800-273-8255. Simply put, there's a better way than to end everything. It may seem like the only out, but I assure you it is not. And Nicole, you know that very well, don't you?
Yes. We're in the business of providing hope. And I think that's what these individuals really need to hear is some hope. Our Veterans Crisis Line, you know, is there for our veterans 24 hours, 7 days a week, and providing crisis intervention as well as just talk therapy. If someone's in a bad space and just needs someone to talk to, our Veterans Crisis Line is here for them.
You don't know what you're talking about, Nicole. How can you help me? You haven't been where I've been. You don't know what I'm going through. Nobody cares about me. Nobody knows what it feels like. How can you help me?
Well, you know, our Veterans Crisis Line is staffed with providers who are licensed and independent clinicians who know all about what it is to be in the military, what things our veterans go through. If you go to a private, and not saying that our veterans don't have, they have the right to go wherever they want for their care. But we want them to know that our veteran facilities have what they need. A lot of the veterans enjoy getting their care at the VA because it's with other veterans who've had similar experiences. Mm-hmm. But also, our VA providers know about veteran-specific issues. We know about deployments and the impact it can have on families. We know about the stress of PTSD and how it can be difficult to cope. And so it is a benefit to come to the VA. And our Veteran Crisis Line is like the conduit. It actually can pull our veterans in. We have a motto, it takes the strength of a warrior to seek help. Mm-hmm. And that's just, we want our veterans to know that in their training, they have been taught to be strong, to be, you know, independent, mm-hmm. to protect each other, and not, you know, that doesn't give room for them to ask for help. And so we really wanted them to know that, look, you served us. Now let us serve you, because we want to help, and we know that what you're going through is very difficult. So we have the crisis line where people can call 24 hours a day. But what we found is that some of our younger veterans, they're more computer savvy. They don't want to talk to someone. Maybe they want to text. So it has text capability. It has chat capability. So it really is helpful for those veterans to have resources that are more comfortable for them. And what we do is we ask, you know, are you in imminent danger? If they are, we can intervene by getting them to a local hospital. If they're not, but they want to get connected and they need to speak with a provider, we make sure that they get enhanced care. We give them access.
This is beautiful, folks. I hope you're hearing this. And you talk about the youth and young folks, what they want. When we come back, I'll introduce you to Babe Berry, my son, 23 years old, and he has some thoughts on this as well. And, you know, if we all get together and do the same thing, we can make a difference. I want one of you to stay alive, at least one of you, not to kill yourself tonight. We'll be right back with more. I'm going to bring you some of the excerpts of a show that we did very recently here. It was a good show, and it was one that I enjoyed doing, and I think it is one that you'll enjoy. So allow us to bring you back a few weeks and listen to this particular topic and my guests.
Helping you be safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Berry.
And we want you to feel safe and secure, especially on this particular topic that we are dealing with, suicides among the military. And I said, you don't have to be in the military to care about what we're talking about, because we're talking about your sons and your daughters, your family members, whether you're civilian or not. And we have to save these lives. 9,000 military vets will die this year. 9,000. 22 a day taking their lives for a variety of reasons. And my guest, Nicole Jones, who is a coordinator with the Veterans Administration, the Prevention Lifeline Crisis Call Center, will give you that number again. But she mentioned how young people sometimes want to enter this fray, if you will, make contact differently. They like different techniques. And no one knows that any more than my son, Babe Berry, who is here in the studio, because I can't get him to make a telephone call, but we can text all day long. I think that's the new normal for you, isn't it, Paul?
Yeah, you know, it's easier for us, and we found ways with text slang to text more quickly and efficiently. So
yeah.
Communication is supposedly evolving. We'll see.
I would just talk to me for a minute about when I approached you on this subject. What was your feeling? What did you think? Did you know anything about this?
You know, I had no idea when you presented me with the numbers. I was really surprised because I have friends who are serving who are my age, and I think even some of them didn't know how serious it is. It's an important national issue that's really deserving of our attention, and I'm glad that I can join the dialogue.
Yeah, the reason I thought it was good is that you're 23. You're a prime suspect, if you will, for entering the military. You have some choices to make, you know, and those choices are I can or I may not, I may do, but you should know about this, and I think it's just stunning to think that after the sun goes down, we're going to 22 people that could have heard us today won't hear us ever again because they've decided that this is the way to end it. I know you talked to some of your friends. What did they say?
I did. I talked to some younger vets, as Nicole was saying earlier. You know, younger vets both have different experiences than some older who saw other combat tours.
Right,
and
right.
Some current serving friends who are experiencing stress too. And I think they're in danger as well. As you said, it's not just veterans but active service members who are committing suicide right. in large numbers too. And one thing that some of my friends said is that a lot of these service members are coming into the service when they're 18, 19 and are maturing and growing up. And they're doing a lot of growing up very quickly, but they're not growing up in a way that other kids my age are. They're not learning how to organize their lives outside of the military.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They have a lot of structure in the military. They have a chain of command. They have very regimented days. And when they leave the service – you know, not only are they dealing with the stresses that they've undergone, but they also are thrown into a world where they don't necessarily know how to organize their lives in the way that they have. They have to readjust societally and in terms of just organizing themselves. And I think that that's a huge stressor.
Yeah, absolutely. I imagine it would be. If you then toss into that those who have been in combat, who may be a little bit older than your friends who are now back out, they've got to go through the process of what they saw, what they did. And I understand that. I mean, I'll never forget the images of my Vietnam days, months. It was overwhelming. But you've got to make those adjustments. And I think we can see how that can be very difficult.
Yeah, I can. I mean, it's something that's kind of being portrayed in pop culture right now as a way of understanding our veterans in the Crisis Hotline Veterans Press One documentary on HBO, An American Sniper. You'll see repeatedly that there's moments when these veterans may be watching television or trying to sleep, and they won't be able to shake an image. They won't be able to get over a particular moment, and it leads to just, you know, how do you deal with that?
Yeah.
How do you get over it? And nobody else can see it or hear it or understand what exactly you saw.
And Nicole, they don't necessarily, unless you call them out, they're not going to call you out to say, help me, will they?
Well, yeah, that's what we're trying to get out to them, is that it's okay to ask for help, because you're right. That's a difficult thing for anyone to ask for help. But we, our veterans, the training is for them to be the strongest and to protect everyone else. And so it is hard for them to reach out. But we're trying to get that message out that it's okay, that these are some of the things that will happen to you, and they're normal, you know, considering your experience, but we can help you.
Yeah, yeah. And all you have to do is, well, you can't assume, to my audience, you can't assume that somebody is necessarily going to know what you're going through. So you have to help out a little bit and be willing to reach out and say, look, I'm stressed. I'm so stressed, I think I'm going to take my life. But before you do that, call Nicole and the folks out there that are willing to help you. They're sitting there waiting and saying, okay. Nicole, what are some of the signs that I should or we should look for that says we got a military member or anybody in trouble? They're in trouble. What are those signs?
Yeah. You know, signs they vary. I mean, someone talking about death or writing about death, someone who is asking about guns or stockpiling medications, who's become really withdrawn or isolated, and that's not normally their personality, giving away possessions or saying goodbye. You know, sometimes family members will call because they're concerned. And the thing about our hotline, which is wonderful, is it doesn't just accept calls from veterans. If family members want to call about a loved one, they can also call. They can get information from the Veteran Crisis Line to help their loved one, to get their loved one in engaged in some treatment, even if that loved one is not aware that they need it yet. And so that we appreciate that the Veterans Crisis Line is also giving family members who are on the front lines of this battle, because they see their loved one day in and day out, and they see that decline, they can actually know what to do as well if they call. So they need to understand that this line is for them as well, to save our veteran loved ones.
When I came back from Vietnam, I was confronted with the feeling that that we had somehow lost the war. I didn't lose the war. I followed my instructions. I followed my orders. Unfortunately, we weren't always over there to win. That meant I had to deal with that stress as well, but I had to deal with the stress before that. And when we come back, I'll tell you how I returned from Vietnam and why I can say to my brothers and sisters in the military that I'm one of you. I suffered through those stresses, and I survived. And if I hadn't, that young man you just heard from, Babe Barry, wouldn't be here. We'll be right back with more. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Barry.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Barry.
And if you're a regular listener of the program, and I certainly hope that you are, when I ask this next question, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And that is, what load are you carrying? Or said another way, who are you carrying as we get closer to Memorial Day? Now, if you don't know what that means, please pay attention, because I think it's so important to understand. We're getting very close to one of the, I think, most important holidays, and that is Memorial Day. But do you know what it's really about, the history of it? We've talked about it, and we've talked about the fact that it goes back to the conflict between Americans, the Civil War, when Americans were fighting Americans, and after it was all over and more people had died than anybody thought possible, the decision was made to pay tribute, to honor those who had fought on either side of the battle, whether they were fighting for the Confederacy or they were fighting for the Union. And so through the years, Memorial Day has meant a time to stop and honor. But unfortunately, to many of us, it just means another day to relax, and that's good, and have a good time. But you ought to carry the load for someone. You ought to care about someone who has and is fighting for our survival here in the United States. It would be nice to think that nothing bad is going to happen, but the reason nothing bad happens is because there are those in the military, no matter what branch, who are willing to carry the load for us, and thus many have lost their lives over in various battles, whether it was World War II, the Korean battle, the Korean fight, the Vietnam War, and I was a part of that Vietnam battle, and now, of course, the young men and women that we lose in these skirmishes that are more relevant to us, or so we think. At any rate, there's an organization out there called Carry the Load. It was started by two young men who were both Navy SEALs. They're now out of the service. But they thought that this idea of Memorial Day ought to mean more than hot dogs and a day off and a chance to sleep in. it ought to mean that we stop for a moment, and not the whole day and not do anything spectacular, but stop for a moment and figure out how we can help carry the load, how we can help the cause. The true meaning of that, what we need more is help spreading the word that we are, in fact, honoring a fallen hero by sharing the story when you carry the load. You can say, it's about my father, it's about my mom, it's about my uncle, it's about a cousin. But just for a few moments on Memorial Day, don't you think it would be great to carry the load? Here's some facts and figures that you don't know. Back in World War II, more than 12% of Americans were in the military. Today, according to the New York Times, that's less than 0.5% of the U.S. population actually serves in the military. Now, I, for one, think we ought to have military service a requirement for all young men and women. And I mean that. I think you don't have to go to war, but you ought to at least give a year or two of your time to making a positive difference in what happens in this country in some form of service. I think part of the problem we have today with young people is that there's no attachment. You know, they don't serve in the military. They don't serve anything. They just kind of grow up and grow out. And they don't seem to care very often about what really happens, or at least they have no reason to care beyond the fact that, hey, I'm an American, which ought to be enough. But when you serve your country and when you give service, whether it's and there are different organizations that you can give service, but at least spend some time serving your country. These two men certainly did it. They were both Navy SEALs, went through the training. They're now working in different parts of the country. But on the 30th, they will meet in Dallas, Texas, one coming down the East Coast, one coming down the West Coast. And along the way, guess what they're doing? They're putting the word out as to why they do what they do. And they're suggesting that you, meaning you and me, we can make a difference by not only verbalizing what Memorial Day means, but we can also, at the same time, make a contribution of time and or dollars to one of the organizations that they represent. They're going to join me here to tell you about the organizations that they represent, that they're raising money for. And they're also going to talk to us about where they are along the road. We started this on the 1st of May, and we have been following them every week as they make their way down both coasts and then as they swing inward to Dallas, Texas. And in Dallas, Texas, they will meet there on the 30th, Memorial Day, and have a chance to reflect over what it has meant to both of them as they come down and what and the people that they have met. And they've met a ton of people along the way who say, oh, yeah, yeah, that's very important. We ought to be caring more about a holiday than just, you know, just getting there. And just having fun. Be serious about it. So coming up in just a minute, you'll meet one or two of these young men who have dedicated the whole month of May to the issue of carrying the load. So coming back, I'll ask you the question, who are you carrying the load for? Who have you stopped to reflect on and thank for making America a safe place for you to live? I think it's important, don't you? We'll be right back. This is Home and Family Finance. Are you financially fit? I hope that you are. And are you holiday fit? Are you ready? As you know, as I indicated to you just a few moments ago, we have the pleasure of finding one of these wonderful vets who have served their country and is now serving those who went before them. Some soldiers, some armor, airmen, some Marine, whoever. These guys care enough to have dedicated, and listen, they're dedicating the month to this cause. And certainly Stephen Holly, who's been with us before, joins us now. Stephen, the question, first of all, welcome to the show, and where are you?
Well, thank you, Paul. Today, I am actually back home for a brief period here in Dallas, our home base, kind of between legs, and but have been following these guys. Our team has been on and off the road for the entire month, and our East Coast relay is in Atlanta, in and around Atlanta today, and our West Coast group is in El Paso today, along with we've got a big Carry the Load rally happening down in San Antonio today as well. So a lot of stuff going on.
All right. So Clint is in Atlanta?
I believe so, yes.
And the other group is, where are they again? So as I've explained to the audience, we have East and West Coast, so we know that you're both traveling down. So the West Coast group is where?
They're in El Paso today.
In El Paso. So they're not too far away.
No, they're you know, that leg is that leg, West Coast is a little bit longer, so a lot of those areas where we traditionally walk on the East Coast, the West Coast, we've, you know, in the nighttime hours, in areas where there is no population, we've put guys on bikes and really covered some ground.
Well, on behalf of my audience, and they are indeed following you guys as we are here and listening and keeping up with you, we congratulate you and Clint for this, the roles that you're playing in making sure that the Carry the Load message gets across there. So tell me, what kind of reaction are you guys getting on either the East or West Coast, Stephen?
You know, the reaction has been phenomenal. And I would tell you that we're 5 years into the East Coast, and so as far as the participation and the organic growth that we've seen over the last 5 years has really started to come to fruition. Because, you know, when you come back to the same communities, the same towns, and you're working with the same fire department, same police departments, and walking with the same sometimes widows and children of fallen military, when you do that 5 years in a row, you really start to grow it organically. On the West Coast, we've had some great participation in key markets. We had a huge rally as we came through Phoenix the other day there, in conjunction with the Diamondbacks game. And so we've had some great rallies on the West Coast, but we know that just like it did on the East Coast, it's going to take a couple of years for people to really wrap their head around what exactly we're doing. When we tell people we're walking from Seattle to Dallas, they don't necessarily believe you. But when you come through year after year after year, like we've done on the East Coast, that organic growth just happened. So we're light years ahead of where we were on the East Coast in year one, now in our first year on the West Coast. So very, very excited to see how it grows from here.
Yeah, we are too. We love the idea of taking the steps on Memorial Day of reflection, remembrance, and celebration. And I've explained to the audience that Carry the Load is a nonprofit dedicated to restoring the true meaning of Memorial Day, and that you represent a lot of different organizations. Give us some of those organizations, and then tell us how people can reach out to you and how they can be helpful.
Yes, well, so we've got 17 different nonprofit partners across the country. Heroes on the Water, Snowball Express, Attitudes and Attires, Boots to Heal Program, eQuest. If you go to carrytheload.org, and up at the top, there's a link for partners that has both our corporate sponsors and also has our nonprofit partners. And those nonprofit partners, we're raising money throughout the month of May, and the money that's raised goes back to those nonprofit partners. And again, we are all about restoring the meaning of Memorial Day, but we are also, just as importantly, about taking care of those families that continue to serve and that have made the ultimate sacrifice, both in military service and with our police and fire and rescue communities domestically as well.
We love the idea. A great way to remember those who have fallen and those who are still in service right now today, and I appreciate you being with me. I'm looking forward to being with you next week as we get closer, only a day away from the goal. So, Stephen, Holly, thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for what you and Clint are doing, and we'll see you next week, okay?
Thank you, Paul.
You betcha. Folks, thank you for sharing the hour with me. I hope you've learned something. You found it entertaining enough to come back and join me again next Sunday or whatever day you happen to hear me on the air. God bless you. We'll see you in a week.